before I introduce and hand over to Cathal O'Hoisin, Sinn Féin MLA, to tell his personal story of a pregnancy with a fatal abnormality, I want to say this. When I began this work for Amnesty, I went up to Parliament buildings to speak to our various MLAs from different parties. I didn't expect that I would be speaking to an MLA who would then tell me their personal story of what he and his wife went through some years ago with their pregnancy. So before Cathal comes up, I want to begin by commending Cathal's bravery to telling this story. It's a story that needs to be told, because whilst those women who spoke to us for this report, for the reasons that I've outlined, didn't want to speak about this today, here we have someone who's going to give that very personal account. Obviously, Cathal is an MLA, and in doing so, I think, has shown some political leadership that this is an issue that many face in Northern Ireland, regardless of their background. And this is an issue that requires our MLAs, like Cathal and others, to commit to changing the situation for women here. So I'll hand over to Cathal. And, you know, if you need anything, want to pause at any time, we're here for you. Thank you for being here. And thanks also to Michelle and Dahi for accompanying Cathal to support him.
Hello, everybody. And thanks to Grainne, Patrick and to Amnesty for inviting me along here today. I'm Cathal O'Hoisin. I'm the Sinn Féin MLA from East Derry constituency. And I suppose I have a bit of a reputation of being brusque and brief and to the point. We use the word in Irish, mojirach, which is direct and to the point. But I'm also passionate, and I'm particularly passionate about the issue of fatal abnormality, mainly because I lived through it. And I've also, since that time, have been advocating the rights of a woman to choose to terminate a pregnancy with fatal abnormality, or indeed to continue her pregnancy if she so wishes. And I also advocate the rights of that woman to access to emotional, to psychological and even pastoral counselling, because in my experience and the experience of other women and couples, I don't believe that exists. So it's been a long journey coming here to this point today. And I've met many people along the way, and there's been a lot of tears cried, and it is emotional. And if I do break down, I apologise in the first instance. But it's something I have been passionate about and have carried with me. Myself and my wife were married in the year 2000, and we talk about in the countryside, old goats like me, we talk about having a long forenoon. I had a very long forenoon before we were married. But we were married 9 months, I think, and 10 days when our son was born. Beautiful son. He's now 13. He's nearly 6 foot. He's a heartbreaker, not just mine, his mother's. But we were very, very proud and pleased with him, and life was good for us. I found a job that I could have written the job description for. An absolutely perfect job. And my wife was transferred from her job here in Belfast to Derry, and that life balance issue was beautiful for us. Like, it meant that we could spend a lot more time together and everything. And I would commend Michelle and Aoife that day, just on the side, because she's decided to move her department actually down the country as well. And that will mean a lot for a lot of people as well. So at that time of my life, life was very, very good, and I didn't think maybe it could get any better. And my wife told me one morning that she was pregnant again, and I was absolutely delighted. And the pregnancy went on for quite, weeks and months passed, and she had all the normal symptoms, and everything looked perfect, twinges and I suppose morning sickness and kicks eventually and whatever. And as I say, there was nothing terribly awry, or nothing showed. And she also had that woman's intuition that this was a daughter, and it proved to be thus. So she went for her scan, I think it was a 16-week scan, and that morning she said to me, "Listen, go to your work, I'm fine, I'll be okay, and I'll ring you when it's over, because I'm going on to my work." And she did ring, and that was the phone call, I suppose, that that always seared in my mind, because she was absolutely distraught. She was quite hysterical. And I actually thought in the first instance she'd been involved in a road traffic accident, but all she could say, there's something wrong. And we went home and we sat down and didn't know where to turn or what have you. And the two of us went the next morning to see the consultant, and they sat us down. And they gave us the story of, and it was the first time I'd heard the word of anencephaly. And basically from day one, they had said, listen, this is not survivable, this is not tenable. Your baby will die, or will be born dead, or will die immediately at birth. And it was an absolute life-changing moment, I think. We were advised to go for termination, but they said to us, take your time and think about it and come back to us when you've made a decision and when you've taken advice from elsewhere. So we did, and we did all our research and what have you. And there actually wasn't an awful lot out there. We touched base with a counsellor from the Hydrocephalic and Spina Bifida Association, who was very, very good, I have to say, and gave us some advice. But I had worked with disability issues in the past, and I knew that both hydrocephalic and spina bifida issues are not necessarily, they're life-limiting, but they're not lethal or fatal. And that was all right. But after about a month or 6 weeks, we sat down and we just, my wife said, she said she made a decision. She said, listen, I want to continue this pregnancy. So again, we took some advice on the matter, and she did continue the pregnancy. And our baby was born and died in the same minute, in the same second, in the same instant. And we gave her a name and took her home. It was a service, and she has a name and she has a grave. And it was only after that, I suppose, that I looked at what the options that we would have had we decided to go for a termination or of an abortion. And I was absolutely horrified that had we decided such, first of all, it wouldn't have been available. Second of all, if it had been, we would have had to go across the water. And then, and I was talking to many people, and people knew of her situation, and people knew of her situation, and they would come forward and talk to us and told us their stories. And when I became an elected representative, I was in council for a number of years, and particularly then when I became up to Stormont 4 years ago, I was listening to quite a number of people who had come forward, and I'd heard the horror stories of people having to go across the water, and the lack of care and the lack of counsel that is available. And so it's something that I've been passionate about ever since, and I've been bringing it up within my own party level and canvassing within party for a change, particularly in party policy, in terms of fetal abnormality. And I suppose, like others, it was when I heard the story of Sarah Ewart, and I remember driving up to work that morning, and I was absolutely distraught in the car listening to it, because I just couldn't relate it to what Sarah's experience had been. And I was fortunate enough to meet Sarah sometime after that. But it was all that stories of all those women and those couples who had gone through all of that, and to realise that nothing was available for them, and the trauma and all they had to go through. So I canvassed, as I say, among my own party for a change in policy, because we hadn't not a policy covering fetal abnormality. Indeed, we still don't have to have a policy covering that. But what we did do eventually was set up a working group which brought together some people to look at this, and this came around about the same time as the DOJ consultation, and they came forward with proposals that we recognise the issue of fetal abnormality as one that may require a termination, and also that we put in place a support mechanism for women who either choose to terminate or indeed choose to continue with their pregnancy. With that in mind, and after the consultation submission, a motion from our Ard Cóilíne is being tabled at next weekend's Ardaish, Motion 122, which deals with the case of fatal abnormality. So, in a small way, I hope that I have maybe changed party policy, and I would hope that perhaps this testimony here today, and the testimony of those women who came and couples who came forward to me, might change the legislation that will cover certainly fatal abnormality. And I hope that it brings a discussion to the floor of the Assembly, that we look at this very, very critical issue that affects, I think, somewhere in the region of 1,000 women per annum. So that is my story, and I haven't been very articulate there in telling it, because I'm maybe too passionate, or maybe too sensitive or involved in it. So, but I'm quite happy to talk to people afterwards or whatever. But I think there is a need for a change in the law here, and there's a need for change in attitudes, and there's a need for compassion for women and for couples, because this is not just a woman's issue; it's a human issue. There's a need for that across society, and if I've contributed in any way to that, I think I'd be pleased enough. So thanks again.